Hi, this is Anne Merchant, and welcome to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academy of Sciences, the National Academy of Engineering, the Institute of Medicine, and the National Research Council, collectively known as the National Academies. Looking gaunt but determined, 59-year-old Robert Tools was introduced on August 21, 2001, as a medical miracle, the first surviving recipient of a fully implantable artificial heart. At a news conference, Tools spoke with emotion about his second chance at life and the quality of his care. His physicians looked on with obvious affection, grateful and honored to have extended Mr. Tools' life. Mr. Tools has since lost his battle for life, but will be remembered as a hero for undergoing an experimental technology and paving the way for other patients to undergo the procedure. The fact that Tools was African-American and his doctors were white seemed, for most Americans, to symbolize the irrelevance of race in 2001. Behind these perceptions, however, lies a sharply contrasting reality. A large body of published research reveals that racial and ethnic minorities experience a lower quality of health services and are less likely to receive even routine medical procedures than are white Americans. Relative to whites, African Americans, and in some cases Hispanics, are less likely to receive appropriate cardiac medication or to undergo coronary artery bypass surgery. They're less likely to receive dialysis and kidney transplantation and are more likely to receive a lower quality of basic clinical services, even when other factors, such as the ability to pay for care, are the same. Add this to the news that healthcare costs are rising, medical errors are a continuing concern, and the ranks of America's uninsured keeps growing, and it all seems to add up to a healthcare delivery system in trouble. It was in this atmosphere that the U.S. Congress asked the Institute of Medicine to assess the extent of racial and ethnic disparities in healthcare. Their conclusion?
Disparities exist. They exist across a wide range of disease areas, settings, and among different racial and ethnic populations.
That was Adrian Stith Butler, Senior Program Officer at the Institute of Medicine and one of the editors of the report. The committee also concluded that although myriad sources contribute to these disparities, some evidence suggests that bias, prejudice, and stereotyping on the part of healthcare providers may contribute to differences in care. Certainly, the sources of these disparities are complex, rooted in historic and contemporary inequities, and involve a variety of participants at many levels, including health systems, their administrative and bureaucratic process, utilization managers, healthcare professionals, and even the patients themselves. We know, for example, that patients don't behave consistently when seeking medical help, and some racial and ethnic minorities may be more likely than whites to delay seeking care or avoid it altogether. Are they refusing treatment because of a general mistrust of healthcare providers? Are some patients influenced by negative experiences in past clinical encounters? Or do they simply have a perception that their doctor is not invested in their care? The IOM ultimately found that minority patients' attitudes toward healthcare and preferences for treatment are not likely to be a major source of healthcare disparities. In their search for the primary factors that influence fluctuations in care, Dr. Butler says that the committee looked at a variety of influences.
There are, three levels of these sources of care, and the first would be health systems level factors. So, for example, the financing and the structure of care, so that your minorities are more likely to be enrolled in lower tier health plans or more likely to be enrolled in health plans that have more incentives to contain costs, and other issues related to cultural and linguistic barriers. So if there's a kind of a cultural mismatch between a patient and a provider, or if there are not interpretive services available, for example. And another level is patient-level factors. So things like patient preferences, refusal of treatment, poor adherence, and biological differences. The last kind of class, I'd say, would be disparities that arise from the clinical encounter. And so those would be things like bias or prejudice, clinical uncertainty, or stereotyping.
Any degree of uncertainty a physician may have relative to the condition of a patient can contribute to disparities in treatment. Doctors must depend on inferences about severity based on what they can see about the illness and on what else they observe about the patient, such as race. The doctor can therefore be viewed as operating with prior beliefs about the likelihood of patients' conditions, priors that will be different according to age, gender, socioeconomic status, and race or ethnicity. When these priors are considered alongside information gathered in a clinical encounter, both influence medical decisions. Stereotyping allows physicians and other health providers to use social categories such as race or sex to formulate, process, and recall information about their patients. A large body of research in psychology has explored how stereotypes evolve, persist, shape expectations, and affect interpersonal interactions.
In the psychological literature, there are, particularly in social psychology, there are a lot of experiments that look specifically at stereotyping and bias. So the committee looked at really a range of research in a broad number of areas.
The beliefs or stereotypes and general orientations or attitudes that health professionals bring to their interactions with patients help them to quickly organize and simplify complex or uncertain situations. Although functional, social stereotypes and attitudes also tend to be systematically biased. These biases may exist in overt, explicit forms, as represented by traditional bigotry. But because their origins arise from virtually universal social categorization processes, they may also exist, often unconsciously, among people who strongly endorse egalitarian principles and truly believe that they are not prejudiced. It is reasonable to assume that the vast majority of healthcare providers find prejudice morally abhorrent and at odds with their professional values. But healthcare providers, like any other member of society, may not recognize manifestations of prejudice in their own behavior. While there's no direct evidence that provider biases affect the quality of care for minority patients, research suggests that the healthcare provider's diagnostic and treatment decisions, as well as their feelings about patients, are influenced by patients' race or ethnicity. Dr. Butler points out that several characteristics of the clinical encounter increase the likelihood that stereotypes, prejudice, or uncertainty may influence the quality of care for minorities.
The situation in which stereotyping is most likely to be present are in situations that are characterized by time pressure, resource constraints, and high cognitive demand. And so those are exactly the kinds of, you know, things that characterize today's really high-pressured clinical encounters.
In the process of care, health professionals must come to judgment about patients' conditions and make decisions about treatment, often without complete and accurate information. In fact, physicians are commonly trained to rely on clusters of information that functionally resemble the application of prototypic or stereotypic constellations. These conditions of time pressure, resource constraints, and the need to rely on prototypics map closely onto those factors identified by social psychologists as likely to produce negative outcomes due to lack of information, to stereotypes, and to biases. But it should be noted that the committee wanted to emphasize that this behavior was not intentional.
The vast majority of healthcare providers are very, you know, compassionate and caring folks, and that these stereotypings are exist on a very kind of subconscious level, so that raising awareness of these issues is really important.
Indeed, the IOM believes that there are specific actions that can be taken to help remedy the disparities in healthcare. Education may be one of the most important tools as part of an overall strategy to eliminate healthcare disparities. Healthcare providers should be made aware of racial and ethnic disparities in healthcare and the fact that these disparities exist, often despite providers' best intentions. In addition, all current and future healthcare providers can benefit from cross-cultural education. Over the long term, many other strategies must be undertaken in conjunction with training and education. Standardized data collection is critically important in efforts to understand and eliminate racial and ethnic disparities in healthcare. And policy and regulatory strategies that address fragmentation of health plans along socioeconomic lines are another important component. To learn more about this issue, you may read the full text of Unequal Treatment online at the National Academies Press website. You may also visit the IOM website at iom.edu. My name is Anne Merchant, and you've been listening to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academies, advisors to the nation on science, engineering, and medicine. Be sure to visit us at our website at nationalacademies.org, where we have more than 3,000 books and publications available full text to read free online.